ukutokro ubintimbrim farabutu bonka kisa fretu mene manango fretu nyonkonye mogege 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 Africa Global Radio, our story, our growth, our future.
Okay, so if you bring this particular rhythm back to Ghana, you can trace it all the way to the group known as VIP, now VVIP, Kuzomu Iwasa. It's a Hausa phrase for saying, let's party. Mudaga Hanubisa, it's time to jam. Let's go all out. So that's where they borrowed the Unibab from his Cliffhanger, released in 1985. This is American Sweet, and you're welcome to the show. It's the Africa Daily Show on Africa Global Radio. I am Barry, and of course, my colleagues PB, Sandra, and Debbie. And yeah, we have in our midst the man who, of course, experienced, because he's a father. No doubt about that. He's a full package, because, I mean, who he's better? I mean, imagine one who's not a father talking about... No, these are. This is the conversation, predominantly for the men.
Men, tell her it's men, not just
men.
Fathers.
When is that men?
You're the
and, there are men.
And so yeah,
I'm fathering. I don't have a biological child.
Sorry,
you rather suck me. If women do not attend to
you see,
who her father
she's
is,
bringing violence no. so much that you know, the guest will send her out.
Medical doctor and clinical psychologist, Dr. Isaac Newman. He's gonna be assisting us, and of course leading the conversation on the significance of fatherhood in a child. He's also the acting director of the University of Professional Studies Medical Directorate, and of course PRO of Ghana Psychological Association. Wow, chairman, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's an honor to have you. Your portfolio really is one that is a package, actually.
We are trying.
And no, it's not about trying. It's a package and premium one.
He's Ghanaian. We are trying.
He just says it all.
You don't need his Ghana card.
You don't understand.
Nigerian man will say yes, I do.
So last Sunday, the world at large observed such a day, but unfortunately, it was on the low.
It was a silent celebration, as always.
It was like a waykeeping without
sure
a song.
Are you sure?
I am serious.
No, it improved. It improved. I would say.
I think it
improved. The guys have become violent. Like
possibly.
Yeah, the guys have. I saw the violence I saw on Facebook.
You did?
Jai, but the ladies were responding with some brutalities.
The guys were not
you know,
bold.
Some social media
bold.
Brutalities.
This is why we use them.
The guys.
Anyway.
Not boldly taking what was for them.
Well, yes. the technocrats in spaces such as that is seated with Mr. Newman, welcome once again.
Thank you very much.
Growing up, did you celebrate your daddy?
Oh, in many ways.
Growing up?
Yes.
How?
Yes, many ways. I think almost every time we had something with him because he was around.
On Father's Day,
yes,
specifically.
Yes, my father was around, so he was around, he wasn't around.
Right.
What it means is that he cared not with time, but with responsibility. You know, and I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we need to understand that men are totally different from women, even our structure.
Right,
our genes, everything, even our brain. You know, now brain scans will tell you that the right side of the woman, right side of the brain of the woman, is more active than the left side. The right side is more for relationships, finesse, empathy, creativity. It's more active in women,
right?
And for men, it's more of the left side, which is more for analytical things, for
critical
solving.
Thinking. Yeah.
Yes. So a woman may come to you wanting to just be heard while they are talking. A man is likely to want solutions, not the emotions of it. So we're totally different. So we shouldn't expect our fathers to behave like our mothers. And in the brain of every man is an activity to go get something for the family, not even to be there for the family in person.
So by that, would you say that such an instant, is it? It's not a societal makeup. It's not something that the society has bestowed upon a male
everywhere
figure.
Everywhere in the world, every man is the same. Mm. One, we don't listen to women. We don't stay home. When we come home and the kids are all over the place, we just watch them. Because it's another conflict. You see, mm-hmm. you're beaten by the world. You come home, not another fight. Mm. You know, so if they want you break your leg, we'll fix it. You know, so the brain that we're totally different, and we show love differently.
Mm.
See, even when it comes to intimacy,
mm-hmm.
you realize that women are more relational with intimacy.
Mm.
Men are more activity driven. A man can go have sex with respectfully a mad woman on the street.
Mm.
And come back home as though nothing happened.
Nothing happened, yeah.
But the woman won't do that. See, so we are totally different. We are completely different. We are wired differently. Even the choice of jobs and stuff. A man is likely to go into more physically driven, activity driven kind of profession.
Mm.
A woman is likely to go into some kind of relationship type of what do you call it, of profession.
Right.
And that's how it is. You know, so right down to the core of our being, we are totally different.
Right.
You know, so the expectations is where the problem is.
Right.
We expect men to be what they are not. And we expect women to be what they are not.
Hmm.
Typically, women are not driven by activities in the marketplace. You see, it's just current. No woman really wish they would have to go to work 8 to 8 p.m.
Is that society?
So let me give an example.
It's an inbuilt.
Let me give an example. Two instances. That's maybe the woman here will have to choose.
Right.
If you had the choice, mm-hmm. I'm coming to you. if you had the choice mm-hmm. of not having a choice, but you have to go to work 8 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
And another choice where your needs are going to be met. And you can go to work anytime and close anytime. Which one will you choose?
You asked me to choose anytime job.
Yes, it's the second one.
It's 8 to 8 and I hate it already.
Yes.
Please ask me to. Yeah. Daddy, ask me.
Yeah, so you realize that in terms of societal expectations of things, it's all artificial. We've created a situation which is not normal. It doesn't fit our makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the problem is. Men are likely to want to stay out of the home most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you don't care about the wife or the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, we are more activity driven. It's like you wake up, I don't even know what happens to my brain. You wake up and it's like, when is the next money coming up?
Yeah.
When is the next project? When do you want to do this? And sometimes, and that's why we even forget dates.
Mm.
For me, for example,
my dad still asks me when was I born. To be honest, till
today. My mother reminds me of my father's birthday. My father reminds me of my mother's birthday. Thankfully, they are all in January.
Okay,
but they've understood me. You know, I'm struggling here with this.
So it's everywhere in the world. You see men having, you know, similar, you know,
traits. Yeah.
Yes,
so attributes. Men basically, in a nutshell, are the ones that are supposed to be the go-getters.
Yes, men generally. Women, if you see a woman who is really driven to be out there,
mm-hmm.
they've had a certain experience with life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But generally, every woman wants to be cared for.
Comfort. It's as simple security. As
even
life.
Even if they have money, they want to
they
spend
still
money.
Want it. Yeah.
That's how we all. A man doesn't really want to spend a woman's money. Because it's not, there's something wrong in us to respond to something like that.
So how does that affect the father, the relationship, the father with the kid? How does it, because every now and then our fathers are on the move. I'm the one who, trust me, I can tell you for a fact, I haven't stayed with my father for like 10 years in a row. No. There are elements of my dad that I still don't know till today. He does it and I'm like, but that's him.
Yeah.
I tell my mom, like, but that's your daddy. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Because he wasn't around. And it wasn't because he was irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
But just as you said, he was thinking of when is the next this going to happen? How am I going to clinch this? How am I going to do that? But indirectly, that is actually bringing a certain gap between him and his children. But at the end of the day, the kids get that go-to comforts, which is their mother. So this becomes a problem sometime in society where, oh, the father is not always around. So they tend to place that less importance of the role the father plays in the children's life. Why?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that whatever a father does in the home, is more of an intentional thing. We have to think about it to do it. Women don't have to think about it. So we have to think about, when I come home, let me hug my kids. You know, let me carry them around. Mm. Let me play games with them. Mm. A woman really doesn't think about that way. It comes naturally. It is spontaneous for women. Mm. For men, we have to think about it. You know, we have to think about, okay, what are they eating? What are they wearing? We need to intentionally think, because our mind is on something else. So when a father is not intentional in fathering their kids, mm-hmm. then there's the gap.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Those fathers who do well, mm-hmm. they are intentional. It means that as part of their plans, mm-hmm. they've created some, you know, intentional activities.
For the kids.
And right. you have to do it. Otherwise, you will lose them. Because mm. children look up to mothers for comfort. Mm-hmm. They look up to fathers for direction.
Ah, I mean, well, mentioned by my colleague earlier, authority.
Who is yes. my father? Mm.
Yes. So now you, the father, you may have to be intentional mm. with the approach to your kids. As for mothers, it comes naturally to them. There's something about them. When I'm home, for example, it's like I have to intentionally think about what to do with the kids.
You're the professional.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm a man. Yeah.
He's a man.
He just learned it. He's just by his nature. His nature.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm able to do that because of my knowledge about these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
So I have planned every when I get home, no work home. Mm. I don't take work home.
Mm. I'm
not those men who think that women have to do everything in the house, because yeah. I think that working at home too, you have, it's a way of bonding with your wife
spouse,
and your kids.
Yeah.
Mm. So
yeah.
for example, if you're cleaning and your kids are also cleaning with you, mm. that is an opportunity to talk to them.
Yeah.
Right. If you're younger, instead of your wife bathing them all the time, you're also mm. bathing them. Mm. You know, because we really don't have time for a lot of things. Mm. So those activities at home, mm. Maybe you're going to the market, you go with them. Mm. It's time for bonding. Mm. Instead of saying, oh, this is your job, go do.
Mm.
I don't allow my wife to take the kids to school. Right. Or go pick them. I want to do that,
mm.
you know, because it's also time while they're in the car,
mm.
you know, that the and kids are very, very excited when daddy yeah. picks them, not mm. even mommy picking them.
Mm.
You mm. see, because as for daddy, if they even ask for toffees, daddy will buy
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
So they don't even, you know, bother him.
Mm.
Mommies will argue with you and not buy.
Mm.
You know, so for us as men, mm. it's more of the intentional thing that it has to be an intentional thing.
Right. Right.
Otherwise, you lose your kids. Yes.
The question goes like, so how significant is a male figure in a child's life, the upbringing? You know, because sometimes some women, the extremists, I call them that way, mm-hmm. not the ones who would say they are, what is the name? Anti-feminist.
Mm-hmm.
I say there are categories of them, the radicals and then the, you know, the liberals. But I think the extremists would see things as, they say a male figure has to be present in the child's life, especially the male children, for the kid to be upright, responsible, you know, later on in life. But sometimes the single parents, who are the mothers, end up training the child who becomes responsible, you know, does everything that society needs to see in a kid who is actually who has come of age. And they say, oh, even without the presence of the father, I did it on my own. So would you say here that sometimes the father figure, even in his absence or their absence, the child could actually...
Yeah, you know, the feminist movement, prominent members in the feminist movement were men. It's men who began the feminist movement. The kind of feminism we have now is not what it used to be.
Mm.
Now everything is mad, you know, through people's pain.
Violence.
You know, people have been hurt. So
yeah.
Personal
know,
experiences.
So generally they have a disdain for men. That is not the feminism we are talking about.
Right.
And if you want to know the impact of fathers in a child's life, mm. look at US.
The United States.
Look at the United States. Because the single motherhood rate amongst black Americans is about 70%.
Mm.
You look at the picture in the US.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're losing... As for US and raising kids, and it's a mess. It's a total mess. And I think that single fatherhood issues, single motherhood issues, is even more important than racism in the US.
Mm.
It's more important. You see, when you shift focus to racism in the US, you forget that most of the problems of the black community is not due to the colonial masters.
That's a result of
the absence of father. Father absence is one of the biggest problems in the US. So you have a lot of kids who don't, fathers give their kids identity.
Mm.
not mothers.
Right.
Identity. So a growing child want to see who they are. And if you look at the book that came out with Yvonne Nelson, mm-hmm. it was identity problem. Yeah. Identity and value. Mm-hmm. Value systems are identity. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem
is. She doesn't know who she is.
And there is something, I don't know. Every child is so excited when the father comes to visit them in school. Not even the mothers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, someone has come. This is my father. You feel very confident. You feel protected. Yeah. You feel guided. You feel proud of yourself. Mm. You know, that is it. Because all of us have clear-cut roles we need to play in the life of a child.
Mm.
So research will tell you that, you know, even when it comes to emotional stability and access to peer influence and all that, you know, single, you know, parenting, you know, is one of the risk factors for those things.
Mm.
You see, if you see someone who's grown up with just a mother, you know, there's something off about
something.
There's something that is missing. Mm. They may not acknowledge, but there's something.
But it is, yeah.
There's something really missing about them. You know, so women are so important. Men are so important. You know, so most of the feminist movement would have to look at focusing on grooming both men and women to be responsible adults.
Right. Mm.
Mm. Because once you're empowering the women,
mm-hmm.
you are neglecting the men.
Yeah.
And those men are the ones who are going to marry the empowered women.
And give them ideas.
And
even the women, even sometimes, you know, take the names of their husbands, you know, proud to say, I am Mrs., you know, Benjamin or Mrs. What? Prince. Prince, get in here.
I'd like to read, because Doc mentioned Yvonne Nelson's book.
Book, yeah.
Just to contextualize, I mean, what he said, I'd like to read the purpose for the book according to the book.
Okay.
You know, so it says, "Dear Dad, I cannot tell you how many times I have cried because I do not know you. I have tried to be strong. Growing up, I tried to shake off derogatory comments and names such as Abanuma,
which is
it's more like you don't have a father or something like that, right?
In the Akan language,
In the Akan language in Ghana. But the more I tried, the more I was reminded of the reality that I did not know my father. I have a strong feeling that you exist. I feel you are still alive. I pray to God to give you long life and cause our paths to cross before you pass on to eternity. I have a feeling you know me. So if you see me, don't pass by. Come forward and let me see you. The main reason I wrote this book is to find you. I could have gone on social media or mainstream media to announce it, but that would have left out the backstories. No social media post or mainstream media interview could have captured my journey and struggle from the day the teacher called Eugene and me to his desk to ask if our father was the same man.
Hmm.
That innocent instigation has helped me to establish what was not. I now want to know who my father is. I beg your pardon. I have carried a false identity, back to what the doctor said. I now know I am not Yvonne Nelson, explaining the title of the book. What I don't know is the surname that I was supposed to carry. For ladies who've been fighting about surnames.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not just a surname. Apparently, mentally, it is very important.
It is, actually. Right?
Perhaps if I had known you, it wouldn't have been a big deal. I would never have understood anyone who goes through depression in search of her father, even at a time she is self-reliant. This is heavy. And is able to take care of others. Having endured it for close to 4 decades, I understand it better. That's why I am reaching out to you. It doesn't matter the circumstances surrounding my birth. If you are out there, reach out to me.
Wow.
It's a desperate cry. And it underlines the importance of a father and what you're saying.
When it comes to even fathers, you know, the girls look up to fathers for warmth.
Yes.
Mm.
Boys look up to fathers for strength.
Yeah. All right.
And obviously, boys look up to mothers for comfort.
Right. True that. Yeah.
You know, somewhere they can run to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so even when it comes to the different sexes, in terms of whether they are boys or girls they look up to their father for something different.
Mm.
You know, one of the amazing things for every girl is when they sleep on the chest of their father and they could fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my daughter sometimes she'll come and sleep on me and say, let the carry carry me to my bed.
Just carry me. I just want you to.
Or come and lie by me.
Yeah.
There's something nice about it.
Yeah.
The feeling is golden.
Mm. Yeah.
And it gives you that sense of pride as a father.
Yes, yes.
You know?
There's something about it that. So when the father is not there, the girl is looking for a father somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they are likely to fall in the arms of other guys who look like fathers to them. A lot of women who are married are looking for fathers.
That's a bomb.
Not a husband.
That's serious.
Ah.
So they get disappointed when the husband can't be a father to them.
Right. Because the role of a father is clearly distinct from that of a husband.
So when a father hands over that bride, you know, after walking him down the aisle, he's only trying to tell him that continue what I left off.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of husbands can be fathers to their wives because they also didn't have a father. So they don't know how to be fathers.
So that explains why sometime before they hand over their daughters to whoever the groom is, they have a certain conversation. What do you do? Which family are you from? They want to know.
Intimidate you.
You didn't understand.
Yeah. Yes. So a lot of husbands, they didn't have a father. So they had a man in their lives. Maybe someone who provides.
Uncle.
Yeah, someone who just provides. They have a biological parents. Maybe a man who was their biological parent. Mm. But that person was never there. You know, he will provide, but he's not there. Mm. You know, so the man doesn't really have anybody to look up to. Or to even teach him how to be a father.
Right.
You know, so a lot of men are not, they can't just be fathers because they were never fathered. So it's difficult. They have to try and figure things out themselves.
Wow.
That is where the problem is. Unfortunately, you know, women are attracted to them because they are in tire suit or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and probably they have some words to confuse them or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe they can provide something.
Yeah.
And usually most, if a woman will list what they are looking for in a man, realize that it's what they were looking for in their fathers. That probably didn't get. So your father didn't have a car, so you want a man who has a car.
Straight bullet.
Yeah.
father didn't do the same, you know. So it's a whole confusion with a child growing up if both parents are not there. Mm. You are putting them, or you are setting up them up to fail as parents. Unless they have mentors who raise them or bridge that gap. You know, they grew up and they can't be, you know, good parents. It's difficult. You know. And there are a lot of broken, damaged people marrying.
Yeah.
They are too damaged for each other. Even if they marry an angel, there will be a problem. Too damaged. A lot of people are just too damaged. Emotionally, they are not there. Growing up, father, mother were not dead, were insulting them, they were abusing them. Even when it comes to play is so important in childhood development. Any child who doesn't play doesn't grow well. You know, so all those things are happening. So you are setting up a child up to fail. Because the goal of childhood is adulthood.
Yeah, obviously.
And adults are a reflection of their childhood. It's as simple as that.
The growth of a child, the goal of childhood is adulthood.
And adults are a reflection of their childhood.
Wow.
It's as simple as that. You meet two people, different people, where they grew up from, who raised them. And that is how critical it is. And so now, my fear is that a lot of people, like you said earlier, who think that they could just have a child with someone and that's enough. Even if they don't marry, it's okay. You may think you're fine, but the child will never be fine. It's one of the very, you know, there's a mindset like that. Me, I don't think I want to marry.
Oh, yeah, we're here.
No, I will just have one child and no.
You know,
imagine you marrying someone who also cares about you and the two of you are raising a child. Yeah. It's one of the best gifts you can give to a child. Otherwise, the children grow up without, you know,
they're missing a certain part of the body.
Listening to all of this, I'm getting a bit personal with it, and the expert has what they have to say, but I haven't experienced that father, that present father in my life. I feel very, very fortunate because when people see me, they feel I'm very hard and all of that. I'm like, no, my father would literally sweep the room for me. My father would serve me when he can serve me food. I have nothing against men or against fathers. I hail them. I need them because I'm not scared. I don't even want to rush into a relationship because I know my father would provide what I need. I don't need anything from a guy. And that was one thing that really helped me growing up. I was not in a hurry to get into any relationship or something because I'm like, when I need it, well, my father is not the richest person, but he'll find a way. So that fatherly presence is very, very important.
It's protective.
It is protective. And whenever I know that I can call my dad and I'll say, I say everything to him that I'm even not supposed to say because I know that there's someone who would, even if I mess up, he'll be like, and he'll come through for me. He'll say something that would make me feel very comfortable. And you know, you spoke earlier about dropping children off in school and how they feel. I didn't have that growing up. Now my father drops me off, and funny enough, he drops me at work. And I would, when people ask, I'm like, yeah, he didn't do it when I was growing up, so he has to pay for it. And I don't even know where I got that concept from, but I just feel so proud when I say to people that, oh, my daddy brought me to work. And people are like, just you know, they want to make fun of it, but it plays such a role in my life. I'm not scared because I know there's a father figure, there's a man. And I grew up with three boys. I'm the only girl, even though I had sisters. So I've always felt that protection. My big brother has been like, we went to the same high school. And when my money gets finished, I'm like, my money is finished. And you give it to me. Just the role that father figures, men, you don't have to give birth to a to be a father.
Yeah.
But just that role that men play. I think we need to be careful not to break that family unit because I'm very passionate about the family. The family makes the community. Community is strong when families survive. But we are destroying this family unit. And if we continue taking fathers out of the picture, we'd have a set of, I don't know, broken community that cannot, I don't know if even this, our current generation will survive what we are creating right now. So,
you know, I'm smiling. You know, you're one of the things that probably you may face, right, in choosing a man is that because you've had a very, very good in terms of father kind of thing, that can be the standard.
Looking for that in people. It is.
And that,
that's what you're looking for.
Yes. That would create some problems.
Yeah, I know.
Sandra. Sandra has a question.
You know, on Saturday, you know, he usually gets angry when I'm late. So every morning I'm getting like scolded. It's funny. Every morning you're late again. And we go through all of that. And on Saturday I was late. But he has this funny thing he does. That he'll get angry. And then the next moment he's fine. And he's having a conversation. I'm like, yo, who are you talking to? You are angry. We are angry at each other. And then he did it on Saturday. And I smiled in my head. So I put on my status like the standard he set. And we're like, how to get angry in 1 minute and then forgive. The standards my daddy is setting. And that's really the standard. And I know it's scary. Like, I know it's scary. But
Sandra, do you have a question?
I have a contrary question, an opposite, the other side of the coin. So I wanted to ask, how would you compare someone who has a present father, probably in terms of time? But in terms of intention, like intentionality, you mentioned something about damaged people. I call them wounded people. And, you know, most of us have parents who have been wounded one way or the other because probably they had hard lives or rough lives. And they seem to not give the... She was mentioning certain things. I was like, wow. Not that my father was a bad person, no. But... I've always said that I had a military kind of training, you know. And people see me and they think I'm pampered, but actually it's not really so. So in a situation where I feel like I've not been given, even comparing myself to my siblings, I wasn't given certain attention they had when they were growing up, right? How would you compare that to someone who feels, who is literally fatherless? In terms of maybe the father is gone, like dead, or is not present. Because there were times where I reached a stage in my life where I felt like my father doesn't love me. And I literally was a daddy's girl. So when you were mentioning some things about children coming, that let me, I didn't ask my dad. I wouldn't ask him. I did not. Yeah. That my concern is he was pretty hard, and probably that's how he understood his way of communicating. But to me, I felt like he was too harsh. He didn't love me and blah, blah, blah. So how would you compare that? And even in terms of choosing a spouse, we realize that people tend to choose people who, if I'm choosing a spouse, I'll probably look at someone who is harsh, who treats me similar to how my dad treats me, maybe. Or maybe I might have higher expectation of someone who is more than my dad and probably is off the roof. Yeah, so I want to know the difference between such people and people who grow up fatherless. Yes. Yeah.
So I think there are three things. One, a father who was there but toxic.
Mm.
And a father who was somewhat there. And a father who was totally there. Right, so the toxic would be, let's say, on a scale of 0 to 10. Toxic, so 0.
Right.
Somewhat, they're 5. Totally, they're 10.
10, yeah.
Right. The more closer it is to 0, the more the problems.
Mm.
Because sometimes it is better to have no father than to have a toxic father.
Mm.
It is more painful to be hurt by the one you love
right.
than the one who is not there.
True.
Mm-hmm. See, so there are some fathers who are there, but we wish they were not there. People like that, when they die, they don't write on their on your obituary.
No.
At long last.
The battle has ended.
We're all wishing they are dead. You know, so.
And there are people who actually wish.
Oh, yeah. Some people, you know, I think there was this lady who came to see me, right? And I think she's in her early 20s.
Mm.
And she's now out of the house. She wrote a letter to the father detailing everything that she suffered under the hands of the father. You know, and when I read it, I was shocked. You know, so and she's female. You know, as for males, they would at some age they'll fight you.
Yeah, they would rebel.
All the anger will be turned into something, an addiction or something. Yeah. There are a lot of men who are even chasing women, and it is all displaced emotions. Like they're displacing their emotion to something else.
Mm.
They become very. They are all drug addicts. All those addictive behaviors, gambling and all that.
Yeah.
It's only a cover up. Of deep emotional problems.
Ah.
Women are likely to go talk to their friends and they'll cry together. A man is likely not to talk, but use these things to
that's
be able
a remedy.
To go. Mm. Right. So the presence of a toxic father is even worse than a father who is not there.
Mm.
And that is why people pair abuse with love sometimes.
Mm.
So when you abuse a child, you know, if you're a father, you abuse your child. Okay, if the father who says he loves me abuses me, that's it means one of the way to show love is abuse.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's very, very dangerous for kids. And some of them, when they grow up and they find this man who is overly nice, they tend not to even
receive
his
fake. It explains yes. it why yeah. some women are...
It's too fake.
How is you mad nice. At my actions? Yeah. I know, yeah. honey, it's okay.
Let's,
like,
let's fight like, small. Let's you, do something yeah. small. Like, you are too
show
dumb.
Your man.
Show your man. You know?
Please don't show your uh-huh. man.
So they find you and they think you are too cool.
Yeah.
Like, you are too fake.
Right.
This one is not real. Because
it's too good to be true.
Yeah, they've actually internalized so many things from childhood, you know, and that is influencing their perception about other people.
Right.
You know, so someone may also look at the father, like you said, and said, okay, I would want my kids to have something different. So I'm not going to toe that line because they found some peace in the pain. It's like that they've made some progress. You know, they've become better through the pain. Others too become so damaged by the pain. That they now even become more vengeful. You know, and that is when, you know, research will tell you that the abusers are likely to abuse their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
So they carry everything to other people. Some become criminals. They actually kill people, you know, because they are displacing that anger onto something that is powerless. Right. So they can't fight their father or kill their father, but they can kill someone else.
Mm.
So some of them is just displaced kind of pain onto something that they feel is safer and they can control.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, I read a story about this serial killer in the US, and after several killings, he was asked, what's the reason? Is that any man he faced, and he's killing only men, and any man he faces who at a point in time wants to show a certain authority, he finds that toxic because of a certain experience from his father. So the man was very, very ill towards him. So he found that as a threat. Mm. So the defensive mechanism for him is to take you out.
Wow.
And he enjoyed doing it because the face he sees doing that is that of his father's. Mm. You know, so it became a thing. Yeah. You know?
Imagine you're married to someone like that. So you're gone.
You're gone.
Yes, and most of them are very, very manipulative. You know, they beat you, they pamper you, they beat you, pamper you, keep you in that.
Yeah.
Because you are the only one who they can control. It's more of a show of power. You know, who can I overpower? I couldn't overpower my dad. Who can I overpower? So most of them enter into, you know, some relationships with. So they may love the person, yet displace that anger on the person. And when they realize they're losing you, that is when they may kill you.
Does that create? We were saying, I don't know if it's related to narcissistic people.
Yes, but. Yes. So some traits like that comes from dysfunctional homes.
Yeah. So it looks like the absence of fathers is what usually creates criminals and all the social vice. We need our fathers.
Yes.
So do you think men or fathers are less appreciated in our society?
Okay, why are you crying on your
teeth?
I think that one depends on the individual and what they built. Father's Day is a big thing in some homes because of the role the father has played.
Right.
Children see and they never forget.
Yeah.
I think Father's Day, my daughter wrote some. I wish I had brought it.
Mm.
Oh, she even created a song for me.
Oh.
I was shocked. She's like, I made this song just for you.
That's how
deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How old is she?
Oh, she's 8.
Wow.
She even drew me. I was shocked with my glasses. And it was nice. I said, because I've never seen her draw nice like that.
Right. Okay.
So I said, that means she had really planned it, you know, took her time.
Premeditated action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me
so
just do this for
maybe that. Generally, societally, the appreciation may be down. But individuals who are doing well as fathers, no children see.
Yes.
Right.
They know.
But what makes you think society in the society generally that feel, that perception is more of like a predominant feel like, oh, Papa Dia is old.
It stems from the perception that men are supposed to be strong. And men are supposed to be, how do I even say it? It's like women are supposed to be pampered.
Yeah.
Okay, if I buy a gift for my daddy, Charlie.
She doesn't care about
my mom, you know, it's like that's the mindset. Women are meant to be cared for, they're supposed to be pampered, they're supposed to be loved, they're supposed to be showered with things. As for men, in some way, that even we ourselves, we really don't like. Imagine a girl writing a letter to you or buying you flowers. Those things are what is this?
Charlie? Let's get real here.
We've been keeping. You know, so it may not be that society doesn't appreciate what men do, but it may be the fact that society expects different things from different sexes, and that translates into how we see them.
Right. You know? We're speaking to medical doctor and clinical psychologist Dr. Isaac Newman, and we're talking the significance of fatherhood. PB, you want to jump in so we can get on to our final words?
I think it's been a very instructive, you know, conversation by Dr. Isaac Newman, underlining the importance of a father and a man in a child's life, right? I'd want to find out, however, for children who don't have, I thought Sandra was going to land there, but for children who don't have their fathers alive, fathers who are responsible, or the fathers are toxic, and you have another figure, like you have another male figure who wants to probably step in or is around or is in the family, right? Sometimes there's that friction because the kids know their father, right? But they don't recognize you as a father, or you may be an uncle, you may be a mentor in a church or something. How do you establish that relationship, that redemptive relationship, you know, between you and those children?
Well, you can't establish anything, you know. So for example, if you look at the book, you know, though there was some father figure somewhere, but you see there is this quest in every child to look for who they belong to. So when they are looking for who they belong to, it's not a sign that they don't appreciate who is there. But it's just a quest to know my identity. Where do I come from? Who am I?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. They will always ask. So the earlier you tell them, the better. You see, it will come up.
Right. But if that's established, yes. right? If that is established And since there's the need of a man in their lives, how do you manage that relationship so that it would be, even though you are a spare tire, if you will, in this situation, right? Or you're a standby generator, how do you help them? You get me? You're not blocking their way to find their father.
Yes.
They may possibly even know their father.
Yes.
But for stepfathers or mentors, you know, who want to step in and remedy a situation because of the psychological implications of no male figure being in the life of the child, how do they go
about? I think there's one thing I would suggest. Be consistent in showing them what a father should show them. Be consistent.
Okay.
So be consistent in showing them, because any other thing may suggest something else to the child, that you are doing this because you know I'm not yours. You know, be consistent. Be consistent in how you show them what a father should show them. And as they grow up, though somewhere in their minds they know you are not the father, they will appreciate you for what you've done for them. But they will keep searching, they will keep looking. Until they die, they will still keep looking for who the identity. And you'll be shocked that when they even meet that person, they will cry a bit and pretend as though that person never hurt them.
Existed, yeah.
Especially if they are girls.
I knew you were
As for girls, you know, it's, you know, if you watch some of these videos about people who do DNA, discover their fathers, they will start crying and hug them as though their father did something. You know, it's like that. There's
resolution for them.
That,
right?
You know, in psychology, there's something we call interconnectedness, the feeling of connection to others and to creation. So for example, in this workplace, you may not hit anybody, but you don't also flow with everybody. See, you meet some people and straight away you connect.
Yeah.
You know, and some people have this deep sense of connection to the beach environment or to pets and stuff.
Yeah.
So when they're unwell and they go sit by the beach, they feel
they're
well.
Fine, yeah.
You know, maybe when they keep dogs or pets, they feel better. So all of us have this deep sense of connection, the deepest sense of connection with a child and a parent.
Interesting conversation. Absolutely, you cannot take that away. Yeah. Well, how I wished we would have continued the conversation because it's an endless road. But what one thing, or you want to say something?
No, I thought you were going to shut it down. So how to reach him, like social media?
Yeah, before
stuff.
We get there, what one thing would you say, or two or three, that the presence of a father in a child? These are some of the things, or just one thing that one would get, you know, growing up, because if you're absent, it means that we're losing out on a lot. But what one thing do you think that child would lose the most, which is very significant in their growing?
Okay, let me maybe say this, that, you know, the word father is even attributed to God, right? And if, for example, if you read Psalm 23, it actually lists what a father does.
Right.
Right. So the Lord is my shepherd.
Fact.
I shall not want. So provision.
True.
He leadeth me, leadership. He restored my soul, restoration.
Deep.
He comforts me, comfort. You know, anoints my head with oil, empowerment. You know, yet do I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, protection.
Fear no evil. Yeah.
Then goodness and mercy shall follow me, blessing. And that is why if you're a father, you never open your mouth to curse your child, even if they are disobedient. Because it will chart the course of their lives. So instead of cursing, bless them. And that blessing would, one day, they will come back. You know, like the prodigals who left and came back.
You know, yeah.
It's always like that. So, you see, this world has seen some way. We've messed up everything. That if family systems were working as it used to, I don't think we have most of the problems we have. So now you have a lot of people who have so many things, yet they don't have the basic relationships they need to grow. So they are professors but damaged. You know, they are doctors but damaged.
Self-reliance but damaged.
You know, yeah.
You need, and one of the biggest gifts you can give to yourself as a child is to forgive your parents.
Yeah, which brings me to a certain question a friend asked some time ago. He said, the father may not be working. You could choose to stay, but some, they just run away.
Yeah.
They leave because they can't. We see that every now and then. We can't shame. We see that every now and then. There's this sitcom movies and all of that. He grows up and the father, he just left because he couldn't bear the fact that he cannot provide for his family. Is that the way to go? Should you run away?
Well, so that person also, they didn't have a father, so they don't know how to go about some of these things. You see, anybody, you know that, how do I even say it? If you had a father, you know, there's something that clicks that normally, instead of running away, you want to be there, you want to struggle. Yeah. Even if it's one city, you want to be there. You know, that is what happens. You know, but regardless, even if they failed you, you know, one of, you just have to forgive them, because you will never find true peace if you are not cool with your parents.
Yes,
you know, you just have to forgive them. Because whatever it is, maybe whilst you're growing up, they failed. But you see, carrying you for 9 months,
no joke.
You know, cleaning you up, making sure that, you know, in your most vulnerable state, they didn't abandon you when you had to cross. Sometimes I see parents crossing the street to their kids, and it comes to mind that even if this woman fails later on, she tried something.
She did something,
She did something. So that is why, regardless, forgive them. You know, because you have no idea what they also faced while they're also trying to raise you.
Right.
You know, forgive them so that you can find peace yourself. Otherwise, you'll never be at peace till you die.
All right. I mean, you're welcome. Papa will not get work. You don't want Peking. If you take care of Peking, society crowd will make you run away. You understand? Well, thank you very much for gracing our studios and, you know, I mean, unleashing these nuggets. And I mean, we're looking forward to having more conversation surrounding fathers and parents generally, because that is what, it's a reflection of who we are, where you're from. He sings a lot because his family is full of singers. I rap because I have a brother, a father who loves rap music.
I'm sure his father gave him his voice.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But where can we find you? I mean, social media handle.
I'm at University of Professional Studies.
Okay.
UPSC. Medical Directorate.
Okay. So we can locate you there.
So.
Right.
And my name too is on social media. Yeah. Isaac Numanata.
Dr. Isaac Newman
Atta. I'm not too active there, but I'm there.
Giving you.
Are you sharing your mind on Yvonne Nelson's conundrum?
Oh, I think it's just a day or so. The graphic called me about something, and this morning I saw graphic showbiz front page.
It was you.
Oh, but that's unprofessional on their part.
I think they told me
it will come.
Nah.
But I didn't know the quantum of it.
Right.
I didn't know.
But let me just pick your two cents on sharing. I think she really shared a lot. Do you think she could have, you know, exercise a certain, you know, sense of the quantum of things she shared? Do you think she could have, you know, taken her time?
I'm not in her mind to know exactly why she did that.
Right.
Maybe it's part of her way of just letting everything, venting everything. People, sometimes people get better when they do that.
Right.
And my only thing is that I think sometimes sharing with people who care is more important than sharing with people who don't care.
You just said it as it was said earlier.
Sometimes instead of going on social media to vent, you know, just go to the person. Sometimes it's just okay because you have no idea what will happen next. So sometimes it's just okay, because whatever happens, anybody who is in your life was not entirely a demon. There are good sides
of them.
There are good things about them. There are bad stuff about them. You know, so I think that sometimes it's okay to share with those who really care. Because sincerely, people really don't care.
That's it.
You know, they may try and write some comments as though they care. But
congratulate you.
You know, if something happens to her today and it's negative, the same people who are... People don't really care. So sometimes... Yeah. And now it's become very, very common on social media where people vent if someone does something
to them.
Yeah,
you just go out there and put
I don't think...
There.
Those people you are talking to, they really don't care.
Interesting. Dr. Isaac Newman right there, who is a medical doctor and, of course, a clinical psychologist, assisting us in the conversation about fatherhood, the significance of fatherhood in our, you know, the child's life. And we've heard a bit about it. And trust me, it goes a long way to help those of us who are in the race of, you know, becoming super dads, and to the potential fathers, yeah, you've learned a thing or two. Thank you very much to my team up here. Sandra, we have some, what's on? What's new? Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, we're going to bring that later on. So keep listening to the Africa Daily Show and Africa Global Radio at large. I am Barry, and thank you very much. Thanks to my colleagues, BB, Sandra, and Debbie, and thanks to Dr. Newman as well for gracing us with making that time to have this conversation with us. And thanks to the technical team, Mickey, Victor, Emmanuel, and Elsie as well. So God bless you. We'll be back next Thursday with another interesting, adventurous, entertaining episode of the Africa Daily Show. Till then, salamu alaikum, jambo, karibu. Ninakupenda, as Swahili people would say. We love you. Bye-bye.
Back to heaven. Back to the big daddy. Be getting down for real.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.